Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member, FINRA, and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
If you build it, he will.
It's the Skinny on Sports Podcast with Aaron Kauk.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
Now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Friday out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour on this Garrison Financial Friday. Scotty G out of commission.
I'd assume so.
Yeah, I saw a video of his foot. It was not good. Not good. So he's healing. He's healing, hopefully next Friday.
Well, good. I miss him.
I miss you, Scott. Can be his return. All right, coming up on the show today, we got year in review. Sports year in review. In the last segment of the year. Oh, look, Colin Cowherd's back to being an absolute troll. He didn't have much to say during the football season. His tweet, basketball school Arizona 38, place Lincoln Riley left 24.
Well, that's clickbait.
Trolling.
He's just trolling.
He's trolling.
He's just trying to get the masses to go crazy.
He's trolling. And it'll work because OU's fan base is idiots on Twitter. So I'm sure he's already landed plenty of fish with that troll job here this morning. We'll talk about that game last night, how you felt, the thoughts on watching that game, thoughts on Jackson Arnold's first start, then kind of look ahead a little bit as far as areas that have to, or that you feel most confident in, areas that you don't. Playoff games, you know, we're not going to be on the air. They'll be done by the time we get to the college football playoffs, so there's plenty to talk about there as well. So we can look ahead to the playoff games, kind of handicap those a little bit, and then hit the high school basketball from yesterday. So those big giant tournaments from around the state. There was good matchups. There's going to be more of them coming up today and tomorrow, not only at the Bertha Frank Teague where the Merritt Oilerettes are, also the Mustang Holiday Classic, and then, of course, Tournament of Champions final day today up at the BOK Center in Tulsa. So that's what we've got to look ahead to. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with the show a couple of ways. Log on to KADSAM.com. Download the app. The app's got everything. Radio, Penny News, Big Elk and Paragon TV. Check out the Oilerettes tonight on Paragon TV. And then the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can check us out that way as well. How are you today, Jared?
I'm good. How are you? I thought I'd be tired. I feel pretty good.
I'm not too bad. I got some sinus issue working here.
That
just
kind of wife, man.
Just kind of came out of nowhere. I'm feeling great.
It's just going around.
Then like the middle, kind of early evening yesterday, it was like, here we are.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going around.
With some stuff in my nose. But anyhow, it did not keep me away from the football watching. Let's talk about the basketball, though. Man, a great performance last night from Coach Doherty's Oilers at 62-39 over the Bing Lady Pirates. Being a Class 4A school, the host, it looks to me like it's kind of going back through the brackets from year to year. You have Bing plays 1 year and Ada plays the other year, right? In the it looks to me like they switch off. So last year Ada played.
Mm-hmm.
Now this year Bing played. So it's kind of, I think, the way that that works. So this year it was Bing instead of Ada. And, man, the Oilerettes were awesome. Continue to roll 6-0 now, 62-39. Just a very, very, very impressive performance in a spot where, yeah, maybe the probably if you could have chosen who you wanted to play, that might have been who you wanted to play. But in that atmosphere, with everything that surrounds that tournament and how prestigious it is, for them to go in there and play the way that they did and not really just leave no doubt in that first round win over Bing.
Yeah. That's a good springboard game, right? To get down there, get acclimated to that atmosphere, playing a team that gets to go home and sleep in their own beds, you know what I mean? So then it was good, I think, to have the game at 8 o'clock and not like 10 a.m. or wherever whatever time
it
started.
3, I think, is when we start, yeah.
So, and from the looks of it, a big crowd, you'd expect with Bing being right there. And I'm sure Merritt traveled well. And then I think they had that traditional player parade either that right before their game or the game before their game. That makes sense. They kind of do it right in the middle of the day, middle of the session. But so the kind of thing of the big crowd kind of remained. But yeah, it's come out, do what you can, do what we expected them to do. That's what they did, and I expect them to. So what I'm saying is a good springboard game. So now they're acclimated to that atmosphere and everything. Now as tournaments go, now the opponent is tougher, and that's going to be the Carl Albert Lady Titans. Should be a fun game again tonight at 8 o'clock, and I expect Merritt to come out and give them a fight.
Carl Albert 7-1 so far this season. They won their last seven after dropping their opener at El Reno back on a couple of Fridays, four Fridays ago, on December 1st. So, yeah, it's definitely a tougher challenge. You look at some of the games that Carl Albert's won. Tuttle's a top-five team in 4A, the only loss that the Lady Tigers have suffered so far, at least going into this week. And I'm sure that Tuttle didn't play. So it was to Carl Albert in the finals of the tournament in Duncan. A win yesterday over 3A number 7 Bethel by 15. But yeah, this is going to be a definite step up in class, I think, for the Oilerettes. But you know what? As we saw last year in this exact same tournament, the classifications don't always mean much. Class A Caddo went through a gauntlet of teams to win that tournament a year ago, and so I'm anxious to see. Yeah, you get to kind of get not a warm-up game, Bing's better than that, but you get, like you say, just kind of a springboard into now semifinals. And at the end of the day, as we talked about yesterday, 2-1, if you go 2-1 in this tournament now, you're either the runner-up or you win third.
That's true.
So that's a heck of a
– yeah.
And obviously 3-0, you win the thing. So really cool, really, really good stuff from the Oilerettes last night. And we'll see what they can do against 5A Carl Albert tonight. As you mentioned, 8 o'clock. So exact same routine as yesterday. Paragon TV, Blake and Travis are down there to call the action, the live stream on Paragon TV of Merritt and Carl Albert. That's coming up tonight, 8 o'clock, Bertha Frank Teague semifinals. I'm sure we'll mention that again and again as the show rolls along. What else happened on the other side of the bracket yesterday? 3A number 1 Washington tripped up Hartshorne 64-57. And then McAllister beat Kingfisher 45-36. So the semifinals look like this. Washington will play McAllister, Carl Albert, and Merritt are the two semifinals. So it'll be, 6:30 and 8 o'clock. 6:30 for Washington, McAllister, 8 o'clock for Carl Albert and Merritt. So that's what's going on down in Ada at the Bertha Frank Teague Classic. Tournament of Champions. The boys' side has got a majority of the press so far because of the quality of the teams that are in the Tournament of Champions this year. A lot of people think maybe the best four teams in the state, regardless of class, played last night. in the semifinals, and which is Crossings, Edmund North. No. Yeah. Crossings, Edmund North, Dale, and Owosso. Edmund North beat Crossings 63-44, so they made their way into the finals. And you've also got that game. If you have a chance to go back and watch the ending of Dale Owosso, it was unbelievable. Dale, 2A, defending champions of the Tournament of Champions, went up and really acquitted themselves well in that national tournament. What was that, in Indiana or Illinois?
Yeah, somewhere up there, north.
So last night, they've got the lead. It's 53-49. About a minute 20 on the clock, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Dale has the basketball. They're breaking the press. And, you know, guy throws it toward the half-court line. The ball hasn't gone across. They get called for a backcourt violation. That was just like, huh?
Was it?
I didn't think so. It was one of those, I don't know, man. You see it called and you're just like, that's not right.
So explain it again. Was he passing it to
He was passing it to a guy that was past the line. Mm-hmm. It was coming to meet the pass right on the line. I mean, I don't know how you say it ever went over to then get back.
Was he established?
The ball never dribbled. The ball never dribbled on the.
No, I know that. I'm just asking. Is the kid who received
it doesn't
the
matter.
Pass.
The ball never went across the half line.
Okay.
Like, he dribbled it short of the half line, and then took off when he caught it. He caught it in the air, dribbled it, like before he came down. Anyway, call that, gives the ball to Owosso, who then Montanati's son, who's I didn't realize this till yesterday. Mark was talking about it. He's played for like Team USA already as a sophomore.
Oh, wow.
At Owosso. He's top 25 or 30 guy in his class.
In the country?
Yes.
Yeah, he's probably.
Yeah, sophomore. He hits a three in the corner, and they call a foul on Forsyth. Kind of one of those where you kind of kick your legs out as the shooter.
I mean,
so they call.
You don't like it, but it's almost a smart play. Like,
anyway,
I got you.
And then he misses the free throw. They get the rebound. He hits another three. So all of a sudden, it goes from Dale up four to Owosso up two. Forsyth makes two free throws. They foul him in the back. I don't know what they were doing there, but they fouled him in the backcourt, you know, the press. He makes two free throws, ties the game up, and then Montanati hits one from the corner as the clock expires to win the game. I mean, it was just the shots he made were incredible. Incredible shot making down the straight in the last minute and probably 10 by the time he took that first three after they called the backcourt violation. But it had everything. It was a good game, well played. Both of those guys were super duper stars in the game with Forsyth and Montanati, and then it had a little controversy as well. So I mean, if you're looking for a game that lived up to it, I mean, Owosso, I think they scored what 11 points in the last 70 seconds, maybe something like that, to come back and win 60-57. So they'll play Edmund North in the finals of the TOC. Then also the Mustang Holiday Classic on the girls' side. Today's lineup is fire. After the results from yesterday, the teams that you wanted to win won. So now you get to see the games you want to see, right? Edmund North Bethany, the first girls' semifinal. Two-time defending state champs in 6A Edmund North. Bethany's defending 4A state champ. Have two, Zia Van and also Keziah Lofton, both Oklahoma commits. So that should be fantastic.
Yeah.
And then Sealing, the Lady Cats, beat up on Broken Arrow yesterday. Double-digit win, so they get to play Mustang, the host, Lady Bronx, tonight at 7. Now, it's a year ago, Sealing played in the finals against Edmund North, if I remember right. It was a game that was fairly tight until Sealing got some foul trouble at the end. And Edmund North kind of pulled away and won by double digits. So there's some small. This is the coolest part of these tournaments, right? You get the small school versus the big school, and you kind of get to see that Hoosiers moment for these smaller schools, and they get to take their whacks at the biggest and the brightest. in the state of Oklahoma.
Yeah, I was saying that earlier this week. That's what's fun for me. You don't even see these in regular. You know, they don't schedule these games, put them on their schedule, but they go and put themselves in these tournaments and get these matchups, and that's a treat for the fans. It's a great. I mean, you want that, right? I always say that you want those tough games. You want those tough opponents to make yourself better in a win or loss. And that's why Stealing's always good. It just feels like they go and find those opponents, and then we see what happens in early March too. So I love it. I love the matchups.
Also, Weatherford bounced back. The Eagles, after falling to Crossings in the first round of the boys' side of that tournament of champions, they beat OK by 67-49. Excuse me. Yeah, 67-49. They will play Tulsa Hale for the consolation bracket championship today. It's a 1:30 tip for Weatherford and Tulsa Hale. That's the one, maybe the only disappointment or the biggest disappointment about the way these tournaments have gone was for Weatherford to lose that first round game and not get to see them play at Edmond North or a Dale today in the third place game. That was the one disappointment for me was that, you know, Crossings is a fantastic team. And it showed it against Weatherford. But I was really looking forward to seeing exactly what the Eagles had for some of those other teams around the state, and it just never happened. It never materialized after that first-round loss by the Eagles. But good stuff.
Yeah, but kudos to them bouncing back. I mean, OK, still a top team in their class, and that was they dominated them. I had it on, and Weatherford came out roaring and never really looked back. OK never really gave them a game. So that's, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, it's just the hand you're dealt, and I'm sure they're going to come out and look pretty good against, is it Noah, you said?
Tulsa Hale.
Hale, excuse me.
4A number 18.
Yeah.
Tulsa Hale.
Shouldn't have any problem with them.
They beat Metro yesterday in the consolation bracket semis. But once again, Merritt Oilerettes, 8 o'clock against the Carl Albert Lady Titans. Bertha Frank Teague semifinals down at the Kerr Activity Center. In Ada. It's on the campus of East Central. One of the most, if not the most prestigious basketball tournaments in the state of Oklahoma. New Oilerettes beat Bing, and now they get a chance at 5A Carl Albert. Coming up tonight.
Can't wait.
It's good. It's cool stuff, man. Very cool stuff.
Whose right. idea was to put Blake and Travis on together? That's risky.
Oh, they've been on before.
I know.
They're like small sample sizes and then take long breaks without them. We'll be back.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs, as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The Skinny on Sports.
This is one of the most awesome experiences of my life because I'm getting in trouble right now. I can't believe it.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM. The Sports Animal. It is a Garrison Financial Friday. Our man Scott down at Garrison Financial is a full financial planner. Shops the open market to bring you the best value on your life insurance and your investments. Scott@soonerwealth.com is his email address. 124 North Main is the physical location downtown. And, of course, his phone number, the office phone number, 821-1219. Hopefully, Scott, speedy recovery, and he can rejoin us once we hit 2024 on the calendar next Friday. All right, Jared, last night, Holiday Bowl, Alamo Bowl, Oklahoma and Arizona. Arizona wins 38-24. Just your thoughts. I'm not really going to say anything because that until we hear from you. I don't want to.
Oh, thanks.
You know, I'm just here. Here's what I would say. Here's what I will say. You remember that commercial we had a couple years back where it was all of us on there, and the whole thing was Paragon Communications. There's something for everyone. Remember that one?
Yeah, I remember that.
That's the way I felt about the game last night.
Yeah, a little bit of everything.
If you any sort of notions you had going into that game about this Oklahoma team, about next year's Oklahoma team, whatever narrative that you had, good or bad, going into that game, you can find something to support your narrative after what we saw last night.
Yeah, man. I was thinking about it after, like, you know, after the game. I kind of sat there and turned on some, because after losses, I like to watch stuff that makes me happy. So I turned on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives and just kind of processed what I just saw. And you're right. The text, I got a text from Trey saying the kind of same thing. And man, what a roller coaster of emotions for OU fans during that game. The lows and then the highs and the comfortability of thinking, oh, I think they got this. Then, boom, that the disaster there at the end and the turnovers. But I kept – and I was relaying this to other guys saying that this, I cannot invest so much motion into this bowl game because they don't matter anymore.
See, that's the one thing. It is a good thing. That game didn't mean a hill of beans.
No, it doesn't.
Because of the it
sucked to lose absolutely.
It was I didn't even care. The care of a lot it the way that game was played and the way it played out, there was so many things that it didn't. Like I said, if you want to be positive, Pete, as Jim says, you can absolutely pick out.
You can find that.
Pick out parts of that game where you can be positive. If you want to be negative, you can obviously pick out parts of that game where you can be negative as well. I mean, I'll be honest. It started out awful, and then all of a sudden it was like, Oklahoma's winning this game easy. Oklahoma is way better than Arizona. And a big part of me still thinks that. You know, it's 24-13. OU's going in to score another touchdown. I mean, Arizona had about 50 yards in two quarters.
Yeah.
And then that crazy play with Farouk happens, and then it's just like the bottom fell out. You know, the first quarter was Arizona's, the fourth quarter was Arizona's, the middle two quarters were Oklahoma's. And even part of that first quarter, I think, started slanting toward the OU side over the last 3 or 4 minutes when – Arnold kind of settled in, but just it's impossible to really kind of dig into the way that game went because the turnovers were just so blatant, right? I mean, just so ridiculous. Farouk fumbles it inside the 10 twice, basically. Arnold throws interceptions, then all of a sudden at the end of the game, the offensive line just disintegrated
that,
right before our eyes.
That game was the big concern.
And it was answered until the end.
It's so funny. What happened?
That's what I mean, though. If you want to pick stuff out, you know, that's been the narrative, the negative side. Oh, you screwed. Their offensive line is major problems. Well,
for that game, it was.
Well,
towards the end, it was.
That's what I mean. You can literally, I can sit there and go, you know what? What do you mean the offensive line was terrible? Salchuk had 15 carries, 134. You know what I mean? I can make the points of the offensive line was pretty good till the end. I mean, they gave up 3 sacks, one of which was a scramble that Arnold just ran out of bounds short of the line. It's not a sack. He just took off and he didn't get to the line of scrimmage.
I hate that stat.
The other two, obviously, one was a fumble and the other one, you know, kind of ended the game, but.
The holding
calls. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. You could pick out negatives for the offensive line. You could pick out some positive for the offensive line. I personally, watching that game, I thought something happened to Salchuk.
Like, because he limped off? Or
yeah, and then it was going left to right, so it must have been the third quarter.
He had a good run.
Sort of near it, but it's like he was jogging. You know, he went around the top of the screen to the left side of the offensive line. ended up being like an 18-yard run, but it was like, I thought he was going to take it to the house.
Right,
and it
was like he
didn't have anything, didn't have burst. I don't know if he had a pulled something or.
Yeah, I think it was on a third down, too. He got the first down.
And, I mean, it was like an 18-yard carry.
Yeah.
But it just, it was like, man, he's jogging. Like you could tell there was something, even when watching him, like he had a hitch. They even said it. Man, it looked like he had a hitch in his giddy up.
Yeah, yeah.
And how much did that, because there's no doubt. There's a humongous difference between him and Tawee Walker with as far as the explosive nature of being able to make plays like that. You know, Arnold, same way. If you want to say, oh, my gosh. And there was a comparison last night, and I thought this – if you're an OU fan, you're going to cringe when you hear this because of the way the other guy the comparison and how that how his career played out. But it, I got to thinking about it. I'm like, at least for one game, that's a really good comparison. To Spencer Sanders. Make unbelievable plays. Good and bad.
Yeah.
Unbelievable plays good and unbelievably scary turnovers bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that kind of looked in a lot of ways like a Spencer Sanders game.
Yeah. Yeah, in a way he I was not as critical because of the situation he was put in and you know, not starting all year, but and like I said yesterday, well, he's had a full month to acclimate to the offense, the somewhat new offense, and but he is a freshman, so I'm like, all right, you know, he gets a little bit of a pass, and you know, for what he had to work with players who've opted out or who's gone on to the NFL, and then we mentioned the offensive line, which was good and bad at times, and. It is what it is, but then I just always sum it up to like, you know, it's just, it's not a good, you know, and I said this last night and because, you know, I was getting replies and stuff and I said, listen, this is Arizona's Super Bowl. This is for the, I mean, I'm not trying to downplay it what Arizona, they won the game. But what's the last time they've had 10 win season? I can't remember.
It's only the fourth time ever.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They were, and they didn't have as many defectors as OU's had and it's just, for me personally as a fan, it's like, this is hard for me to get up for this game and get excited about it, which makes me wonder, do the players get up for this game and get excited about it? But it's still a game of football, and that's why there's a lot to think about, a lot to take away from it. But overall, though, I mean, I know the question's coming up about Jackson Arnold, like how do we feel about his future there and his performance and stuff. And I do agree, when, you know, he threw the picks early, suddenly it's 13-0. And – but then it's like when he settled down, that's the Jackson Arnold we expected to see. And so there's some bright spots there. And I wonder what an offseason and fall camp will do for him moving forward once the offensive line is figured out. Whoever, I mean, I don't think that offensive line we saw last night's offensive line we're going to see in September.
You probably hope not.
No, you'd hope not. I think they're going to go hit the portal hard
portal.
And and go from there. But I'm not – Rome isn't on fire because OU lost the Alamo Bowl.
Oh, I think anybody thinking that is crazy.
I got those texts last night. We're screwed going forward to the SEC.
For what?
I'm like, what are you – I said, stop. We're not – what are we doing? This isn't the same team that's going to the SEC.
Well, I just – I mean, I just – it was such a weird game because of the – think about – I mean, okay, that's the negative. Couldn't block anybody at the end. Same old defense, which played fantastic in the middle, but when they really needed to stop, Arizona went 95 yards, took the lead after the fifth or sixth turn, whatever turnover it was. It was hard. I mean, that poor gal almost she didn't even buy enough footballs. They ran out to stab it through the sword thing, which was just crazy. But, you know, so you have that.
Thanks for supporting Sooner Athletics by buying all those balls.
But they, but at the same time, I could sit here and pick apart the good parts as well. Oklahoma's defense looked phenomenal in the middle of that game,
and that's what I was
absolutely
looking, yeah.
Phenomenal. I mean, and so there wasn't when they you saw when the offense was complimenting the defense on that 24-0 run in the second and third quarters. You're like, holy cow, look at this team go, and you know, I was looking at the win projections on ESPN's website. When it was second down and 10 from Arizona's 23 in the latter stages of the third quarter, Oklahoma had a 95.3% chance to win that game. And I'll be honest with you. I'm sitting there going, Oklahoma's about to blow them out. That's about to be 31-13. Then you can pin your ears back and rush the passer because they don't have the luxury of being able to run the ball. They couldn't run the ball anyway. OU's rush defense was fantastic. Outside of one play there at the end, which almost helped them to at least give them the ball back. There was, you know, that the other way wasn't going to happen. And yet, there's still both sides you're left wanting. Like, what, you know, there was times where Arizona didn't look like Oklahoma had anybody in the defensive backfield. The guys were running wide open. Then there's other times it was like, oh, my goodness. This is what you expected to see when Brent Venables was named head coach on the defensive side. And I think offensively, is it the same way as well?
I call it the BVD. I'm going to get that to catch on one day because I said when the defense was stepping up, I was texting, I said, the BVD is showing up. That's the Brent Venables defense. I said, showing up. The BVD is showing up in this game. And that if they show up, then I was with you. I was like, oh, this could be a blowout. Now, we talked about this yesterday, about what we expect, what we're looking for in these games. And what the little interest I had was looking at the future. Obviously, Jackson Arnold was that. And then the what did I text you? I mean, you called it too.
Yeah, Brennan Thompson.
The deep ball to Brennan Thompson. But I thought, okay, this is something I hope is a connection because the speed with the arm strength could be lethal.
Here's what's a little bit nerve wracking about that to me is some of the I thought Peyton Bowen was almost terrible. You know that one long pass. Yeah. He was right there, like he was lost. It seemed like he was lost a little bit. Especially in the early part of the game, in coverage, you know, that's the secondary for Oklahoma was pretty suspect, I thought. And you couldn't blame it on not having the guys out there. Gentry was out there. Peyton Bowen was out there. Billy Bowman was out. You know what I mean? It was like, you know, you look up and Arizona's got, with McMillan and Cowing, 17 catches for 312 and two touchdowns. That's not good defense. That's not.
Well, at times they look. I said this too last night. I said, well, I guess it's the first time these guys have ever seen a slant pattern.
Well, but
it's just, you know, like it seemed like, and you could see it like when they would go empty back or an empty backfield, and I thought, here comes the slant pattern. Boom, 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 all night long, felt like.
Well, anytime pressure was brought from the middle, it was wide open, it felt like. Mm-hmm. And then Oklahoma kind of quit doing that. And that's when they really settled in and controlled the game defensively there for two quarters, for half of it, for sure. And then, I mean, it's hard to put a ton on the defense because of the turnovers. I mean, what are they supposed to do?
They did, I thought.
They held Arizona to 29 yards rushing. Now,
yeah.
35 minus 35 sacks. But even then, that's just 64 yards if you take the sacks out.
When it could have been 21-0 instead of 13-0.
See that?
You know, the forcing the field goals, you know, I thought they're that was, in my eyes, big because it gave, like we said, Jackson Arnold time to settle down, and he did.
That was the story of the game until Oklahoma turned it over again.
Yeah.
In that rash of turnovers. The story was, man, the defense adjusted, slowed Arizona down, and then kind of suffocated him in the middle of the game, giving that offense a chance to run away and hide. And it looked like they were going to. And then they just didn't. You know, that crazy play to Farouk. Farouk had obviously, people were mad at him today. And he had two pretty soul-crushing turnovers. You score the touchdown in the first half, get it back to 13-7. Ball's tipped, interception for the Sooners. Very next play, it's going to be first and goal at like the 8, and he fumbles it. Now, Arizona had something to do with that too. It was a great play punching the ball out, you know. But that's, you know, and then the other one, the helmet right on the ball. I don't know how much you can blame Farouk outside of, boy, those are two costly turnovers. I mean, that game I really was kind of, if Oklahoma scored there, I was really thinking, you know what? I may go to bed. This deal is over. It's about to be 31-13. Maybe the biggest play of the game was the pass interference where the guy just gave himself up on Stoops because that's a touchdown in the end zone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stoops had him beat miles And I think that those are things, getting back to Jackson Arnold, I think in next year or the year after, those are touchdowns because he was late. You know, the second interception to Stoops down the sideline, he's got him wide open, but he waited an extra click or two and then threw it too far down the field, allowing the safety to come across. Whereas as soon as Stoops holds his hand up, if he fires a missile in there, mm-hmm. like he clearly can, the dude has a cannon. But it's just reacting to the speed of it. And I think you saw him not be able to do that very well at times, and I think you saw him be able to do it exceptionally well
at
times.
And I think that's the exciting part is, like I said, the offseason, if he could use it to his advantage and continue to develop because he's just a true freshman, there were those flashes there. You go, okay, that's stuff that could be fixed, and that's stuff that he can work on. And he strikes me as a kid that won't accept mediocrity, that he's going to work on this stuff. So that's the exciting thing. If you're looking for positives today, that's it right there. Is Jackson Arnold. I mean, I know he was not good at times, but he was good at other times. And look at those good quarterbacks want to get better and erase those mistakes. I think he's going to be good. I think he's a budding superstar.
Dude, it would be so – for me, give me the spectacular and the bonehead over just looking like a guy.
I agree.
For a true freshman in his first start, I want to see glimpses of greatness. And you saw that.
Yeah.
You also saw the other side
well,
of it
from
being
almost,
young.
I almost am glad in a weird way that there were those mistakes. What if he came out and he was phenomenal? Throws for 5 touchdowns, no interceptions, runs for another 100-plus yards, maybe run in, and everyone is going, give him the Heisman now. Give him 4 Heismans. The guy is a freak. He's going to lead us to 3 national titles. You know, then it kind of like how Trevor Knight was in the Sugar Bowl, and then the next, you saw what happened there. Blame Katy Perry, whatever. But kind of glad he wasn't perfect. Does that make sense?
Oh, sure.
Because, again, these bowl games don't matter. It don't matter. They only matter if they're playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not even sure. Does anybody even care? Do players even care about the New Year's Six Bowls?
Just a little bit, because they're playing. I think this is the interesting question, and I thought it was with Levy, and it's going to be moving forward. It's on the text line. It seemed like the coaches got a little excited when Arnold got it rolling. Kept calling pass plays to see him throw. I don't know if that's true. Because everything is so RPO-driven, I don't think there's any way you really know what was called, right?
Yeah.
That's decision-based with the ball in the quarterback's hands more than we know. You know, there's no way to know. I mean, it could have been 3 straight run calls, and what was there in front of Arnold led to 3 straight pass. You know what I'm saying? Like, he makes those decisions mm-hmm. and those run-pass options, so... I mean, I was thinking it when it was 24-13. Oklahoma had the ball, and they went quick in the 3-and-out, and then the defense got another 3-and-out. I thought, all right, it was right before Farouk fumbled it away, or, you know, that play. And I was thinking, golly, that was too quick. Oklahoma needs to run the clock, you know. And they kind of did. That's kind of that. But I think if you watched Sawchuk's burst on that 62-yard run down the sideline where it looked like he was going to outrun everybody, and then – the carries in the second half, I think there was a little something off about him. I don't know if he tweaked it, something. You know, and he's kind of struggled with injuries all his career so far. You know, just little things because he wasn't looking like that guy. And I think that contributes a lot to him only having 15 carries. Is something happened.
Yeah.
Where he didn't quite look like the same guy. But... What's concerning you?
Concerning
about going forward, what is the biggest concern? I think
I
this one's pretty simple.
The mystery of the offensive line. Yeah. That's what's concerning to me. Can it be fixed? Can I don't know. I mean that's going to be the big question. That's what's something I'm going to be focusing in on. You know, does OU aggressively go to the portal? Find some dudes, get them on campus, and rebuild that offensive line. You know, and part of it is maybe the concern even before the game was why are offensive linemen leaving? What's going on here? Is it a coach problem? Is it just – is it NIL? Is it portal? Why don't, is it probably a mixture of everything. But ultimately, just the offensive line, just seeing – you know, it doesn't amount to anything for Jackson Arnold if he has to scramble for the rest of his career at OU and we don't get to see the potential that he can bring. So that's what's concerning.
Yeah, I don't even think it's close. Because no offense to Arizona, but Arizona's nowhere near what they're going to see next year along the defensive fronts from the
sure.
other side.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even think that's close. It's O-line, the portal, the high school recruiting, you know, it is, and it's wild because it never seemed like this year's offensive line ever really got truly established. And you're going to look up here in the end of April and early May, whatever the draft is, and there's going to be a couple of those guys get picked, maybe even one of them in the first round with Tyler Guyton. So, you know, and that's – but that's a huge concern in my mind. The biggest concern is figuring out a way to patch that thing together going into a much more difficult conference with as far as defensive linemen go and then start to rebuild depth and have that coming. Because this is another, you know, the portal is handy for some of this to try to patch a guy here or patch a guy there. But this goes back to just a couple of weeks ago. This is why high school recruiting is so damn important. Because you need to get four or five of those guys every single year and build up that depth through the program that way and not have them be leaving.
Right.
That's why it's so important to get the right guys and hit on the line. And it's both lines are become even more and more important with the style of football that Oklahoma's about to start seeing on a regular basis in the SEC as opposed to where they're at right now. What about playoff games?
Yeah, you know, we talked about it earlier, is how it's kind of in a very interesting playoff matchups because I think all four teams have a case to winning it all. So there's not one bum, if that makes sense, in these final four. There's always, you know, we had said that it just felt like sometimes, a lot of times, okay, we just have to put this team in here at four because we – that they qualify and there's no one else that's deserving, and then they go get thumped. So, or there's a game where we go, okay, whoever wins this game is going to win the national title. It's pretty clear. Well, that's not very clear this year. I think all four teams have a case to say we are the favorites, or no, we are the favorites. So it's very, very, very interesting.
Yeah, and the matchups are you got similar styles playing each other.
Yeah, it's true.
Instead of, you know, sometimes you see the high-flying offense against the great defense, vice versa. This time it's like the kind of the old school run it, beat you up on the line of scrimmage with Alabama and Michigan. And then you've got the other game where it's a little bit more high-flying and probably more offensive with Texas and Washington.
I didn't realize – I saw this stat. I'm not trying to knock on Texas, but I didn't realize that they were so low – their passing offense.
Yeah, that's like, why a lot of people think Washington can
win it. But I don't know if they're taking into account how their Texas. Maybe that's just, you know, obviously it's a season's worth of stats. But man, these last two, three games they've been rolling. You'd almost think they'd think, man, I really wish we could have played that a week after the Big 12 championship game because they got some momentum going on. Yeah, but I'm and on the other side, Washington. I'm going to root for Washington, not because they're playing Texas. I mean, yeah, that's a part of it, but because I love feeling smart, and I've been a big Penix fan since the season even began. So I would love to see him have a day and punch their ticket to the national title game.
I think Washington's going to have to be able to run it a little bit, and that's super super tough against Murphy and Sweat, mm-hmm. those two guys in the middle of that Texas defense. I mean. That's if Washington can be two-dimensional offensively, I think Texas is in a world of hurt. If Washington can't, then they can probably make up for some of the deficiencies on the back end by playing different coverages and kind of keeping everything in front and not worrying about having to commit a bunch of resources to stopping the run game for Washington, which know, it'd been a little bit up and down throughout the year, but man, in that Pac-12 title game, the run game was the difference in Washington beating Oregon again and not. I mean, they were really, really good at being able to run the football against what was a fantastic defense of Oregon all year long.
Final question on this one. We'll talk about the other one. But does it matter? Is Washington come in with a little bit of an edge because they played Texas last year in the Alamo Bowl and beat them? Do they come in? Oh, we saw them last year. We know we can beat them.
Or is it the other way around?
Or there's revenge.
I mean, I don't know if you're revenging the Alamo Bowl with winning a playoff game.
That makes no sense what I just said, because I don't think those bowl games matter. Was Texas even invested in that game? You know, I don't know. But these two games, they do matter. And Alabama and Michigan, who do you like?
Michigan.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. I think Michigan's the best team.
They certainly do not like playing Alabama.
I just think they're the best team. I think J.J. McCarthy is better than what he gets credit for. Part of the reason why I think things went the way they did for him this season was an injury. You know, everybody goes back to that Penn State game when they're on the road. They don't run the ball in the second half or whatever it was. I mean, but part of that was him not being 100% healthy. Go back to the Ohio State game. That dude was made a bunch of good throws. And Michigan's the one team, I think, Michigan can out-Alabama. Now, it does hurt not to have Zach Zinner on the offensive line. There's no doubt about that. And we'll see if the Tide can kind of take advantage of that. But I thought Michigan was the best team all year long from the very beginning. And I haven't seen anything that makes me think there's any reason to change my mind about that. Because I think McCarthy is a better version of, say, Stetson Bennett.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to win the game for you, but I think he can. You know, Bennett was able to kind of do that against Ohio State last year in the playoff game where he was kind of the difference. And I think McCarthy can 100% be that if he's called upon needing to do it. I like Michigan. Bama's season's a little bit like that game last night. If you want to pick out the good and what Bama did, it's easy to do. After that South Florida game, Milroe kind of figured it out, took the reins of that offense. Obviously, beating Georgia the way they did is a feather in the cap of Alabama. But you know what else? I can go the other way. There's no way in hell they should have beat Auburn. And Texas kind of dominated them, especially late. And that's not something you see from really against an SEC team, or especially Alabama under Nick Saban. Normally they get stronger the further the game goes.
Yeah.
And that night they weren't. Texas really kind of handed it to them. And so I don't know. I may have too much of early season Jalen Milroe in my mind and not giving him enough credit, you know, for what he became. But I think it's Michigan and I think it's Washington playing in the finals.
And we won't pick a winner on that one because we'll have time to talk.
Well, it
about
might
it.
Be Alabama and Texas, and then I won't have either team right.
That's true.
To be able to pick a winner.
Well, okay, if we're picking, I'll say Washington because of what I said earlier. And I'll actually go Alabama. I just think that Milroe has gotten better, and they're Alabama in the playoffs, Nick Saban, hard to go against them. So that's where I'll lean. I think they're going to be great games. I think both games, like I said at the open or starting this topic, was that both the matchups, there's not one ugly duckling in this group. I think all four have a case here, and I think we'll get a couple really, really, really good games.
It's about time.
Yeah, right.
Because there haven't been very many good playoff games.
And on that note, I hope that the expanded playoffs gives us more really, really, really good games.
Yeah.
Because they mean something.
It'd be nice to finally get two good games. Last year, we got two pretty good games.
Yeah,
TCU Michigan was a good game. Yeah. And obviously, that Georgia Ohio State was a fantastic game.
How about this? Let's get three good games.
Well, I don't know if we can get three, but I'll take two out of three. But it'd be nice if that last one was a good one, too.
Yeah.
We'll be back to wrap up a Garrison Financial Friday and 2023.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs, as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member, FINRA, and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The Skinny on Sports.
All right, welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Wrapping up 2023 here on a Garrison Financial Friday with the year in review. The sports year in review, Jared. I know if you start ranking topics, I know what your number one thing sports-wise in 2023 was.
So let's just get over it. Texas Rangers won the World Series. Number
the
one.
Rangers winning the World Series.
Let's just stop the conversation. End the year on a good note.
So we saw the Rangers win the World Series.
Yes. That is awesome. Awesome. You know what the problem with this time of year is?
It's hard to remember all of it.
Oh, yeah. We don't have basketball. And I'm so programmed to get here, get my stuff done, and get ready to go to a game or prep for a game or whatever. Well, there's nothing to prep for. So what do? I sit there, I click around, and I start clicking on, Fanatics. Any sales going on? A lot of the World Series gear is on sale right now. And it's that time of year, close, that end of year closeout sales. Anyways, I may have bought another hoodie. But yeah, that's my number one. Is that how we're doing it? One to whenever?
Nah, I just memories. I just knew that was going to be. So let's get it out of the way.
Oh, yeah. Let's just get it. Let's rip the Band-Aid.
Yeah. I'm
going to live it up.
I like to go back and think about the chronological order of the year. You get to a lot of, to your point. Outside of a year, if one of the in-state schools is in the college football playoff, you kind of gloss over whatever happens then. Then you get the Super Bowl. But really for us, I think the first time I start thinking back gets to be in March. And what happened for high school hoops. And this last year, we saw another state championship come back to Western Oklahoma. It was the Hammond Lady Warriors. Were able to win the Class B girls state title, and they were just fantastic. You know, when you look back at that run that they had in the state tournament, man, they were good, really, really good. Obviously, that set records for margin of victory that first game against Leedy. And they were able to carry it on through beating Lomega, which is that team, that program. That if you win one, you kind of want to beat them to do it, and sure enough, they did. And then what that led to, right? The coaching carousel in Western Oklahoma was pretty wild after the basketball season was over.
That's right. Had a lot of movement right there. By the way, on that note, did you see, I know it's not a game, it doesn't matter, but Hammond hosted that super scrimmage and they hosted Dover, who's number one in Class B. And Hammond had their way with them, but I don't know who played, who didn't play.
Yeah, it's hard.
Saw West was out there, and
it's just hard to know with this time of year. There's different things going on.
Kudos to Ed; he broadcasted it and everything.
Yeah, I saw Kenneth got replaced by a baby. Sorry, Kenneth.
Yeah, but
no offense to Kenneth, the baby was much cuter.
How about it's probably on your list, but you know, Big Oak Baseball with their run. Go ahead.
That was where I was headed next.
Yeah, and on top of that, Cash Mayfield signing with OSU.
Yeah, he was Gatorade Player of the Year a year ago. Yeah. And the Big Elk baseball team, right back where they were the year before. I wouldn't think it was quite as heart-wrenching a loss as it was 2 years ago, having that lead going into the final frame and not being able to hold it against Tuttle. But once again in the semifinals, just unable to figure out the mystery that is the Tuttle Tigers there in the state tournament. But huge season. For Jay and the team, and probably poised to be headed that way again. You know, their key injury with Catch, and you know that'll hurt. There's no doubt about that. That'll be a hole that has to be filled somehow. And whether or not it can be, maybe not. I mean, he's a really good young player. Or heck, he's junior now, so he's past the young stage. But you know that'll be have to be a hole that's filled somehow, some way, and. But I do know this, when you've got that guy out there, that guy being Cash, and then watch out for Bryce Mouse this season. I think he's going to turn some heads on the hill as well. And you kind of have one thing taken care of, right? Or you feel like, for the most part, Cash is out there. You feel really good about your chances in about any game, no matter who the opponent. So, and that takes a lot of the off the shoulders of a lot of those guys, you know, knowing that, hey, we don't have to go score 10. We get two or three, we'll be in pretty good shape. So, yeah, that the Big Elks baseball run again to the semifinals and then, you know, kind of the look ahead to what may happen. And what's cool about it is the way that all those guys are stacked in there for years. And, I mean, this is going to be this topic every single year when we do this. It feels like for the next half decade to decade or even longer. Because the future, if you look at any program in sports at Elk City, it's hard to find one with a brighter future than what the Big Elk baseball team has.
Yeah, maybe a highlight. I'm just trying to think local. The last five county basketball tournament was played. We talk about
that was really in 2022.
Well, season-wise, but you know what I get. You know what I mean? Or okay, in 2023, there was no 5K basketball tournament. But
welcome, South Canadian Classic.
Yeah, and then that leads to, you know, the establishment of that tournament, which looks like it could be really, really good. And we'll see where that goes. But I'm just racing right now, thinking.
You know, one
locally,
one outside of local. That really seemed to catch steam, and I think it probably started in 2022, but it really came to the forefront in 2023. LIV Golf.
Yeah.
Became a thing, and a pretty big thing, to where now John Rahm has moved to, you know, and I think the state of what professional golf is and what it's going to be, really going to be kind of shaped by what happened in 2023.
Yeah,
you know, with the PIF, and you know, will it just kind of end up being not a merger, but you can do both. I don't know how that's gonna, but I think the future of what professional golf is going to look like really started to kind of disintegrate and maybe even come back together all in 2023.
Final couple, I got two more, and I'll be done. Locally. Staying on the golf thing, the clubhouse opening.
Yeah, no, I had that one too.
I'm sorry.
That's
I'm
okay. That's all right. Toes. No,
but
no, no.
That's a big deal. It's a big deal. It's a big story this year. It's a long, long time coming that the clubhouse is finally opened at Elk City Golf and Country Club.
Yes, it
big,
is.
Big, big deal.
Thank goodness.
And on a sad note, the passing of Ryan Miner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's still fresh on our minds. But, you know, from Hammond was a high school legend in these parts, turned into a Sooner legend, and then of course moving on to Major League Baseball and replacing Cal Ripken Jr. But that's still kind of fresh in everybody's mind, and I mean, I'm going, like, did you see the tribute video that OU released? Yes. And I think they ran it before the basketball game last night, and they wore shirts to honor
shooting
Ryan
shirts at the 12. Yeah, no doubt about
very
it.
Very cool, but very sad. I mean, just gone way too soon. Ryan Miner.
Yeah, right here in the text line. I had him written down with Ryder Cowan.
Yeah.
And all his accomplishments on the golf course, just a skosh away from doing something that nobody's ever done in Oklahoma golf history with those OGA championships, the junior, the stroke play, the match play, just not quite able to win that, the OGA State Am and the match play side, but still a phenomenal summertime, obviously, for Ryder, and then playing a couple of tournaments as a true freshman in the fall here for OU and really excelling down at the Big 12 match play in Houston. He was awesome for that week, and, you know, there's a lot there. You know, Quade, obviously, Quade Cummins is still beating it around on the Corn Ferry Tour. Once again, second straight year that he was able to play well enough throughout the Corn Ferry season to not have to worry about where he's playing. He's entrenched on that Corn Ferry Tour. Now we'll see from here if he can, you know, just make those incremental steps up the ladder to end up here this time next year earning his tour card and being able to play on the PGA Tour. Just kind of that stepping stone. And I think there's a pretty good chance that that's going to happen. He's just getting better. You know, he was right on the edge last year of kind of in and not. This year he was pretty well entrenched throughout most of the Corn Ferry Tour season as, you know, one of those guys that, well, if you have a good week this week, all of a sudden you're right near that top 30, mm-hmm. not, you know, instead of down toward the top 75. So, yeah, the golf is pretty cool. There's no doubt about it. And maybe some international waves could be made by two kids that grew up right here in Western Oklahoma.
Let's do this Tuesday because it's not the new year, but I think we should talk about what we're looking forward to in 2024.
Absolutely.
So maybe it's something we can start thinking about over the weekend. But, you know, there's a lot of things I'm looking forward to, but we're just out of time. But, let's cover that.
We can just talk as long as we want to. Is like a new kick us off? I just got to get that weather cut by 10:40.
Yeah, cut the power.
Yeah, there's some of those. I mean, locally there's a bunch of that. But to me, if you had to say what will be the story of 2024 around here, I think it's at least poised to be Oklahoma going to the SEC.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That seems to be kind of where my mind – or, Jared, a wild card candidate.
What's that?
What do the Thunder do?
What do the Thunder do? Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to talk about this on Tuesday.
Locally, though, I
look, oh, there's one massive local story.
That you're looking forward to?
Oh, that takes the cake over everything you can think of.
What is it?
I'm going to the Masters.
That's true.
There's no doubt what's the biggest story in local sports.
I can apply this every year. I always look forward to the small school state tournament, but this year is extra special because it's the last one in the big
one. That's a good one. We're gonna do this on Tuesday when we come back. Everybody have a great New Year's Eve weekend. We'll be back in 2024. Thanks to Scott. Scarce and Financial Friday, wrapping up the year right here on Skinny on Sports.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way back, goodbye.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs, as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.